than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. I hope you are staying safe in your home, away from other people. It has been a crazy time to be living right now. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's been a little weird, but joining me as always to talk all things Ravens football, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing in this this pandemic?
Man, I'm just going to put it this way. I'm not going to be all doom and gloom. We all understand. It really sucks. But I'm hanging in there, man. I'm thankful to be still working full-time from home. Only going out to get my essentials pretty much. But, yeah, I've been hunkered down here in the house, the crib, with me and the pup. And, you know, been doing a lot of FaceTiming, a lot of video chats with some friends right now. But we'll get through this together, my man. But it's not the way to live the American way. But, just as everybody, we pull through, and we're hoping everybody's being safe and following these guidelines so we can beat this thing and kick it out so we can live on, right?
That's right. That's right. And, yeah, I mean, we normally this time of year, we're not really doing that many shows, but we thought, hey, there's a quarantine going on. People are kind of bored. We're going to do something a little bit differently. So we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But as we do on this show, we like to talk a little bit about Ravens news, NFL news. News broke earlier, I guess today, that the NFL is changing up the format to the playoffs. And Josh, tell us all about what's going on there, because I'm a little confused of how things are going to be working out. It looks like there are now going to be two wild cards, and things are going to change that way. We're moving from what, 12 teams to 14 teams in the postseason. What's it all about?
Yeah, man. So it's going to be a little bit different. So the landscape of the NFL in two phases, right? With the new CBA put into place, starting with the 2020 season, the wild card weekend is going to consist of three games on Saturday, that first weekend, and then games, and then three games on Sunday instead of your traditional, you know, two and two. So what's going to happen is the seeding is going to be crazy. So just take the current structure now. Like, the Ravens are number one seed, right? They would have been sitting pretty with the new format, because apparently the number one team, it's going to be 7-7. The number one team, the number one seed essentially in these conference, gets the bye. So how it is the two is going to be playing the seven and so on. So it's going to be pretty much a six-team bracket in wild card. It's like a 16 bracket, and then they're going to basically recede. I don't know how it's going to be. I haven't really simulated it. First off, I've really seen the simulations. I'm just reading the text from the stories that we get, so bear with me because I'm sure I'll butcher it. But just to give you some insight on it, that's what it's going to be. It's so this is for CBS Sports. I'm going to read it verbatim just to help us understand. So they asked the question, how drastically will the new format change? And this is right on CBS Sports. The story was put out today. They're less considering what would have happened if the new format had existed in 2019, because that's the blueprint we have to go off of. As I mentioned, the Ravens would have been sitting pretty with the number one overall. They would have been fine. So right here, the number two seeded Chiefs would have hosted the seven seeded Steelers. So the Steelers would have gotten in the playoffs. Remember how they faltered down a stretch and the Titans ended up taking the spot and they knocked us out. The Steelers would have actually made the playoffs under this new format of last year. And it says, with the top seeded Ravens waiting the lowest seed remaining in the second round. on the NFC side, the Packers would have not gotten a bye as they just did on the previous format. The top two seeds get the bye like the Chiefs and the Packers. The Chiefs would have had to play the Rams. The Rams would have actually gotten into the playoffs, believe it or not, at 9-7. So 8-8, the Steelers would have made the playoffs at 9-7. There's the controversy therein because, as we always said, that you know, less is more. Less teams. Me personally, it's less teams. It's more prestigious, and then it also cuts out the mediocres getting in, right? The 8-8s, 9-7s, maybe 7-9s, depending on how bad or the seeding is or how bad the divisions are. And it says right here, considering the 8-8 Steelers and 9-7 Rams would have made the playoffs, had the postseason been expanded, it would appears that winning 10 games would almost guarantee a playoff spot moving forward. So it's almost like that 9-10 – we've always said 10 wins in NFL. If you go 10-6, you're probably guaranteed a wild card spot at least, or maybe not guaranteed a playoff spot. Nothing's really guaranteed, but it puts you in the right track to be sitting pretty for if your division's weak, maybe a division crown or a wild card spot some way, form, or fashion. But it's going to be different. That's kind of how I drew off of those notes and kind of taking their text and then kind of just, you know, interpreting it that way. Pretty much it's, you know, everybody else free for alls it out. The one seeds just sit by and wait for that low seed remaining. And it's going to be a little weird, but Brandon, I don't know if you caught this in the story, but the NFL is going to do something different to cater towards a different part of the fan base, because when they start airing these games in January of 2021, right? So it says right here, the games, we're going to start with a 4 p.m., 4:30 kickoff or something like that on that weekend. And it says, the game, additional to the part of CBS's coverage, a separate telecast will be aired on Nickelodeon, tailored to a younger audience.
Yeah, I saw that on the news.
I saw that, and I wanted to highlight it. What do you think about that? That's a little different.
It's a business standpoint. It's smart to bring in that younger audience because we've all heard the news that a lot of younger people are not playing football due to the fact that parents are really worried about concussions and head injuries and kids getting hurt. So if you're going for that younger audience to get them interested in the sport, that's very smart. But when I first heard that, CBS and NBC both are going to be broadcasting the game, and they're going to be doing it streaming as well. NBC on the new Peacock streaming service, and then CBS will be doing it on CBS All Access. And then they're also doing the Nickelodeon show because CBS owns Nickelodeon. It's just a way to reach a broader audience. It's a way to expand your audience and make sure, you know, you're kind of future-proofing it going to Nickelodeon. But I kind of am interested, even though I am not the age demo, I might be tuning into that Nickelodeon game because I'm kind of intrigued of what they're going to do.
Right. I am too, man. I'm wondering like what kind of presentation they're going to throw into that. And maybe, I mean, I don't say for a part of this, but maybe the experiment of the XFL that just happened before everything got shut down, maybe that they're trying to pull a page from that because, I mean, not to say XFL was broadcast on their airways, right, Nickelodeon, but, you know, XFL was a fresh spin on football. And to me, it was somewhat drawing a good crowd. Everybody was excited. I had a ticket in hand, as we know, my first XFL game the week of everything started and they started canceling everything. So I'll have to wait till next year to go to my first XFL experience. But yeah, so it's interesting to see what they're going to do. And then, like I said, phase two of this whole thing, that whole regular season from 16 to 17 is not going to be expanded until the 2021 schedule comes out next year. So playoffs are going to be expanded this year. The schedule is going to be in full effect next year for the 17th game. So some changes in the NFL. Some people think change is good. Some people say leave it alone. I feel like everybody I talk to says leave it where it is. We love our football. It is. But it's cool to see what this fresh perspective and changes might do to the competition. I just feel like this, you know, if you're hovering around that 500 mark, you know, I don't know. It's just I feel like it's like it allows that mediocre to coast and you're going to start handing out participation trophies like, OK, you made the playoffs. So what? And we can easily say it as Raven fans, right? We're 14-2. We had the one seed. The Ravens weren't 8-8 last year that got knocked out. And if it was expanded, they would have been the Steelers and they gotten in. So, again, the Ravens might be in that position some point where they might have been the cusp and they might get that weird seventh seed and get right in where years past, they didn't get in. And what if the Ravens get in there and make a run? You hear Ray Lewis always said to it when he played here is just get in, just get in the dance. And then we'll just make noise from there. I don't know. To me, again, I feel like it's watered down, but let's see it. You know, I don't want to judge this thing prematurely before it happens because I might love it. I don't know. But I don't know. When you have 32 teams and it sounds weird, right? You have 12 that make it previously out of 32. Now you're only adding one in each conference. It's two teams. I was like, Josh, it's only two teams. But I don't know. I feel like less is more. You know, it's that much harder to get there, to get in the playoffs, but I'm interested to see how this works out. The jury's out still for me. I'm not going to sit here and say I love it or hate it, but my opinion right there, right out there, is less is more, but we'll see.
I also think they're trying to make those final games in the season mean a little bit more because so many teams of those 12 teams that last week usually doesn't mean anything. We didn't see Lamar Jackson in the last game of the season this past year. So I think that they kind of want to make those last couple weeks mean something a little bit more. And plus, if you're having more teams go into the postseason, it's more revenue coming in. It's more stadiums being used. I mean, it's all money. But, we'll see what happens and who's going to be the first team to get that seventh spot and go all the way to the Super Bowl. That's something I'm kind of thinking about. Who's going to go on a run? Because it's been a long time. I think the Ravens are the last team to go to the Super Bowl without a bye. I'm kind of intrigued to see who that might be as well.
Yeah, and I am too, man. You just never know how it's going to play out. We've always said, and as you alluded to, the Ravens have been successful being a wild card getting in there. He's obviously, every time they've had a seed, whether it was a first or second, they never bode well in the playoffs. But, it's always good to get that seed. And as you alluded to also with the rest at the end of the year, meaning the games mean more. Harbaugh was already on record saying if he could do it over again, he wouldn't rest the players, play them. So, hey, if we play that 17th game and it means that much more to get the one seed or a two seed or wherever you need to be, position yourself accordingly. But I'm interested in how that works out because – with the seating and all that, it's just to me, I guess it's weird because I'm having a hard time because I'm so numbers driven with my job and I'm analytical that I'm thinking like it's to me when you have 7-7, I guess you got to take that bye week out because I'm thinking like, well, how can you have 7 playoff teams? It's imbalanced. Like, but I'm forgetting that obviously you have that. Basically, it's still 6-6, and then that 17 plays a bye. But to me, it's like when I first read it and think about it, I'm like, I sit here and I get – maybe I'm just reading way too much into it, but I think it's like it's imbalanced. Like, how's that work? And I'm trying to, like, on paper draw out the brackets. So I can only read into it, but it's – again, maybe there's a simulation out there that I haven't seen how the – I guess I'm visual, Brandon. So me just reading it from some stories that are put out by NFL and CBS and ESPN, I need to see it. So maybe if someone can, like, draw it out for me, that's how I would learn better. I'm like, oh, yeah, once I see it on a bracket form, I'll probably be able to get it better. But to my interpretation, again, that's kind of where I put it together is – that once he's going to be waiting for that lowest remaining and then they're all going to play forward. So, and again, you got more football. I guess they say less is more, but I know we always clamor as fans for more football. We're going to get 6 games we're going to get 6 games on wildcard weekend instead of 4. So, we're going to have more football. So I guess it's all around a good thing, right? More football is good and we're getting more football for more regular season games the following year. So the NFL is giving it to us. They're giving us more and more and more, but I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
All right. So let's get into what we were going to do this show about anyway. So we got a comment on Facebook a couple, I guess 2 weeks ago at this point. It was Mike Miller who said this, and he said, hey, I got NFL Game Pass. Give me some games and tell me which ones I should be watching. So Josh and I kind of put our heads together and we're like, let's do not a top 10, but how about a list of 10 games that we think that you should go back and watch while the NFL Game Pass is available? So
this was hard to narrow down.
It was. I mean, if
Brandon came to me, he's like, pick 10 games. I'm like, how can you? Because our history, we have so many marquee games, marquee matchups in our history. And even making the list, I kept like wanting to change them out because there's honorable mentions. Oh, what about this game? And And when we were making the list, we thought about, yeah, it's easy to throw both Super Bowl games in there because there are world titles, but I kind of didn't want to do them automatically. Like, okay, because there's other games that led up to them. There's other games in regular seasons that I felt that just were just awesome and crazy and important at the same time. But yeah, man, this list was really hard to narrow down, man. When you have to put a hard deadline and a cap on it, like 10, Brandon, you gave me a task, man, because I don't know. Me and you, we put together the list, but it was tough.
It was, but this was kind of fun to go back and relive a couple moments and kind of figure out which games. Because the way I did it was I said, all right, you know, this kind of is like wrestling to me in a little bit because you always hear about WrestleMania moments and just moments. And I said, all right, what are some of the biggest moments I remember in Ravens game? So that's where I kind of got my list from. And they might be personal memories. They might be just memories of the game or like you said, historical moments for the team. And this is going to be a historical season coming up because it's the 25th year of the Ravens coming to be. So let's get into it. So can I go first? Can I give in my first pick?
Hey, man, floor is yours.
Number 10. All right, my first pick for our top 10 Ravens games. November 24th, 2011, the first official Harbaugh Bowl. It happened on Thanksgiving night, prime time in the under the lights at the bank in Baltimore, and we got to see the Harbaugh brothers duke it out, Ravens versus 49ers. Ravens came out with a win. That's my number 10 pick. So, Josh, you were there for that game, I have to imagine. But it was the Harbaugh Bowl. It was kind of a preview before the Super Bowl. We got to see the two brothers duke it out.
Man, I was there for that one. That was, if I believe it or not, that was our first Thanksgiving night game because I think the following year was that Steelers game. That was an atmosphere to behold, man. That game, I remember sitting next to the fans in that game. And by the way, not even for the game, the tailgate was fantastic. I mean, Thanksgiving food. What more you can ask for, man? I think I had like four Thanksgiving meals that day, man. Deep fried turkeys in the lot and, you know, pumpkin pie. And I mean, it was the time and what better way to have it showcased than under the lights against the Niners, which obviously we knew we would see them again a couple years later in the other Harbaugh Bowl. But this was the first one. And this is when Alex Smith was on their quarterback. The Ravens really played a tough game against them, and it was a tough contested game. The Ravens' defense was the X factor in Terrell Suggs. That defense stepped up and were just relentless against Alex Smith's offense with the sacks. I think we turned in a 6-sack performance that night. Suggs was just a monster that game.
I remember Suggs being an absolute monster. He was flying all over the place like he was a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade balloon flying all over the place. Yep. Billy Cundiff was a big deal for that game. The game was 16-6, so really he was huge on what he was able to do. Dennis Pitta was able to get a touchdown. And it was a night game. It was a black jersey game. And like you said, it was prime time on Thanksgiving, the first time that M&T Bank got to host a Thanksgiving game. And I think even after that game, Harbaugh was asked, like, hey, what do you think? Would you like to do a Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving game again? And he said, yeah, but I want it to be every year and I want it to be in prime time. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I'm absolutely fine with the Ravens playing at primetime every Thanksgiving. Eat your turkey before you go out going crazy on Black Friday. You get a little bit of Ravens football in there, too.
It'd be Lions, Cowboys, Ravens.
I like it. Games.
Well, I think it happened because I think for that time, I can't remember if it was consecutive years or two out of three, but we definitely played, whether it was the following season or year after, the Steelers game, remember, where obviously Jacoby Jones ran the ball and Tomlin stepped on the field and all that. That was another one where after that game, it was on NBC. I remember, Jacoby Jones partaking of the turkey leg. That was the infamous picture with him and Tucker. So it was a sight to behold. So, and I think, again, it was right that Harbaugh's like, hey, you know, this is our second one and it's at night. So on Thursday night and Thanksgiving under the lights, why not make it happen? And, you know, in new tradition. And I felt like that was cool because it was like, hey, we had two games here. Why not keep it going? And you got to give other teams a spotlight, I guess. But, the Lions and the Cowboys enjoy their home games that day. But for those two games, specifically the Niners game, I just, again, just right back to it, you know, the atmosphere, it was like just a playoff game. It was loud. You know, everybody was, it was Thanksgiving. It was joyous. And it just say it was a ruckus time. What a time to be down there and enjoy and celebrate a win on Thanksgiving night.
NFL history made here tonight. The Harbaugh brothers, the first pair of brothers to go head-to-head as NFL head coaches.
There's 10 minutes remained in the third quarter. Here they come after Smith again. And down he goes, and that ties a Raven record. And it's Suggs again.
Number 9.
All right, Brandon, so coming at number 9, I was actually fortunate enough to be on the road on this one. Monday Night Football. This was December 16, 2013. This was the season after we infamously won Super Bowl 47. Ravens go on the road on Monday night in Detroit. So, yeah, this was one for the billing. It was a closely contested game. This one was a great road trip because me and my good friend Lane, he actually moved back down in the area. He's from Detroit, Michigan. So when he moved back to Detroit, long story short, between me and my friend, friend of mine used to live here in Bel Air, Maryland. We, you know, obviously went to the same church, and then he ended up moving back to Detroit with family. He's back in the area now, but moved back to home in his native Michigan State. He invited me up, saying, "Hey," because he came down here for the Lions game at home when the Ravens would play the Lions here in Baltimore after he moved. So he's like, "Hey, I got a hotel, I got the ticket, I got the flight, and I went up to Detroit and enjoyed a Monday Night Football game in Detroit, Michigan." So it was great. Great atmosphere to go to Ford Field. It was snowing that day, unlucky enough that they had an indoor stadium. So it was started snowing on the walk there. So when we got out, there was like 5 inches of snow on the ground when we got out of the game. So it was a little weird. You know, you're inside, you know, in a climate-controlled environment up there in snowy Detroit, and then get to come out in the snow. So that was pretty fun. But not as fun as the game. But lo and behold, who knew I was going to be there from historic fashion. Justin Tucker lining up at the end of that game, kicking a 61-yard field goal to win it. And Brandon, it was in my side of the stadium, right? So, you know, I had a good vantage point of it. And there's a few Ravens fans around me, obviously. We were at the outside aisle. So we're like right there at the aisle. And then there's some Ravens fans across the way. And he kicked it. And it was up, and I'm like, and I remember like, oh, it wasn't long enough. And of course, everybody's holding their breath, like, is he going to miss it? Is he going to make it? And dude, lo and behold, he goes right through, and you could just barely tell because I was on the sideline, like how my tickets are at Ravens games, where I was kind of at the angle in the corner of the end zone, so I could see the uprights, but it was hard to tell if it went through until I saw the ref's hands raised, and he made it. I seen the team celebrating, and I remember going, and I had my arm stretched in the air, and I was like, he made it. Oh my God. And then Ravens fans come up to me and we're all high fiving. And of course the Lions fans are like, no way. Oh my God. So it was a sight to behold, man, to be a part of that historic moment in Ravens lore and in their history. And not only that, not being at the game, but fast forward a couple years later, I saved the ticket and online, I wanted to commemorate the moment. So I was browsing online as the sports memorabilia, kind of the thing that I have with sports memorabilia is I love to collect some moments in Ravens history. I don't just collect anything. So I found a great picture online of Justin Tucker kicking the ball as he's kicking away and he signed it. So, and then I wanted to buy another copy of unsigned because I was like, maybe I'll get to meet him one day. So I bought the picture and I bought the ticket to keep it framed, right? Like a ticket lanyard to keep it pristine because I had it that was before mobile tickets. I had a ticket. Long story short, Tucker was doing autograph signing. I was like, look, what better way to have him signed than the photo and you know, and him inscribed and all that, the 61-yarder. And he enjoyed it. I even showed him my ticket. I had it in the lanyard. I was all excited. I said, Justin, man, I was at the game. He was no way. And I was like, bro, it was a moment to behold. So I was there for that one in historic fashion. Again, man, I just relived that moment and just to be very blessed to be in the atmosphere of that historic Ravens moment, man, 61 yards. And then that's where the Legatron was born. Megatron, obviously, of Calvin Johnson, the former Lion, as Megatron is his nickname. Well, that's all of a sudden it was in, you know, in Tuck We Trust and in Tuck Yeah and Legatron all was born from that game.
What
and
wasn't was that Dr. Pepper as well? Wasn't that the game where Dr. Pepper sent him like a for each kick he had that game, they sent him a like a mini can, a liter, a 2 liter, and they nicknamed him Dr. Pepper?
That's right. Yep. I remember that specifically. Yeah, it was awesome. That's all that came from that game. That was amazing.
That was a great game. And again, that was on December 16th, 2013. Justin Tucker makes history, 61 yarder. But yeah, so that was a great game. I remember watching that one. And Justin Tucker, the thing I remember most about that, since you didn't get to see it live on TV since you were there, but after Tucker got that kick, they do a slow motion reaction shot of the Lions sideline, and hopefully it's on the game on Game Pass. But there's a guy in a Lions hoodie and he's got a hat on backwards, and you just see him where like he's got this kind of like blank stare on his face, and then you see Tucker make it, and his face just drops, his jaw drops, his hands go down, and you can just tell there was absolute shock on his face from the fact that Tucker made it. I mean, it's a 61 yarder. Who would have ever thought a guy could make that, especially in Detroit, and it wins the game. Absolutely fantastic. Fun one right there at number 9 for your pick. So awesome. Justin Tucker, Dr. Pepper, making history.
Absolutely, man. It was one for the books.
This is 61 yards, the longest kick Tucker's ever attempted in the NFL. On the way, drifting right, and it is good! It is good! From 61! Unbelievable!
Number 8. My number 8 pick for favorite Ravens games takes us all the way back to 2009. It was the Ravens. It was the Chargers. It was a nail biter, and the game ended due to anybody else but Ray Lewis. It was a fourth down. If a stop was made, the Chargers were going to lose. And Ray Lewis knew exactly what play was coming. He knew exactly where to line up. He had studied this team. He knew everything, like the back of his hand, what was going to happen. They pull off the play. There's all this drama. The crowd's going nuts. And within a split second, Ray Lewis comes out of nowhere, makes the stop on fourth down. Boom. Game's over.
Dude, that was one too, man. And I've always been in front of Ray when he talks about that game. He gets so intense, as he always does, talking about reading that play. And he goes, I knew what they're going to draw up. He's like, in just his Ray Lewis-esque fashion, right? Just knowing that instinct of what made him so great and a Hall of Famer and added to his career, that he just knew that, you know, and he talks about it, right? He's like, no, I knew that they were lined up. And he even talks about so fine detail of how the linemen, if they were dug in a certain way, if their stance was this way or leaning this way, if it was run or pass. And he goes, I knew, I smelled that thing the whole way. And Ray read it. And that to me was just one of the all-time plays. And he'll tell you, because I've heard him say it live in front of me to some fans. He said one of his favorite plays of his career is that game right there, that play. Because it just, in typical Ray Lewis fashion, he shut that door on fourth and two and said, Darren Sproles, nah, not today. And the Ravens won the game because of that play. It was amazing. One of the best plays in his career.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, wonderful thing to see. Ray Lewis, like you said, he's a student of the game. He's a guy that everybody should look up to when it comes to not just football, but your own career at the same time, because, God, he was so passionate about what he was doing. He knew this team. He knew what they were going to call. He didn't have to go to the coach and be like, what are we doing? He said, this is what they're calling. This is where we got to be. And he knew exactly what was going to happen. And I mean, it was, he knew before I think they knew what they were going to do. So shows you once again why Ray Lewis is one of the best to ever play the game. And we're lucky that he was a part of the Ravens team, because I can't imagine going against Ray Lewis. I mean, this guy, he would live, breathe, eat football. And that game absolutely showed why he's one of the best.
Oh, man, it showed exactly why he's one of the best. And, dude, I can just watch that on replay. Just that play, just, again, just spoke to why Ray Lewis was so great. You know, reading the play, you just knew. It's just almost like everything was in slow motion. As soon as that ball was snapped, you just see Ray going right for him. And it's almost like if he guessed wrong, it's almost like he didn't care. He was going straight for that running back. And, dude, I could break that play 50 times. Break that play down 50 straight times, and it really wouldn't matter. It just was awesome to me just to see that.
Fourth and two at the 15.
Rolls the deep back, gets the handoff. Oh! Backfield! Ray Lewis comes up the middle!
And that's not the defense. That's not the call. And he's running through the A-gap and hitting Sproles in the backfield 4 yards deep because he's got four or five tips. He knows what play is coming.
Number seven.
So my next pick here, I'm going to go moving around the map a little bit. I'm going to go one of the best plays in Ravens history, one of the best games in Ravens history, and not even Ravens history, but one of the best postseason games in NFL history, if not ever. I'm getting chills just thinking about it, man. And this is dubbed the Mile High Miracle Game, as we all know it. We know which game this is, and we all know it very well. This was played in Mile High in Denver, Sports 30 Field, January 12th, 2013. You know, and I know there's a more important game before that, but this one just was special to me because I was with my friends, I was with my dad, and that's something that just made me enjoy it even more because at the end of that game, as we all know the outcome, I truly thought the Ravens were done. I truly thought, you know, this is the last time we're going to see the great Ray Lewis on the Ravens, and he's going to go out a loser, and he can't go out like that. And there's a reason why I wanted to start off before Ray's last dance for anything. You know, not to say this was my first choice, but what we're going through right now, right? You know, we're going through a crisis. Well, the Ravens are going through a crisis that game, too. How many times have they been scored on? They had the lead. They gave it up. We had two kickoffs run back on us. What did Ray Lewis say at halftime? No weapon formed against us shall prosper, right? He preached that to the team, and he kept saying it. And that's why I feel like we're in now, right? We're all stuck at home. Things are closed up. People got lost jobs. People are being sick. You know, it's crazy out there. You know what, guys? No weapon. You know, like Ray Lewis said, no weapon. And he just keep pronouncing it and speak it. And the Ravens had their backs against the wall. I mean, the opening kickoff got ran back. Okay, here he goes again. And then especially in the second half where the Ravens come out, and the Ravens, they were down 7-0, came back roaring, scored 14 points, you know, got the touchdown, got the pick six, Coy Graham, the Ravens are up 14-7, and then it was just back and forth, 7-point leads, tie game, 7-point leads, and then going back into the Ravens were tied, right, with them right at the end of the game and had to let that touchdown go, and the Broncos up 7. That's all I can remember, and I'm like, man, you know, this can't happen. And now look at the clock. We have, what, less than a minute, no timeouts. We got to get up going. I'm like, it was looking grim, very grim. And it just took one flick of the wrist, and Jacoby Jones broke behind the defense. And again, it's a miracle because I watched that play, still don't know how it happened. And Joe Flacco, with about 30 seconds left and no timeouts, heaves the ball. Jacoby Jones catches it, runs. And it was like slow motion to me because I remember you were there. I remember the place is going nuts. And I'm like, and I remember my dad next to me, and he put his hands here and goes, he caught it. He caught it, yeah. And I'm like, because I was already preparing, like, I was all getting upset and teary-eyed. Ray's last game, we're going to lose. We're going to have playoffs, especially after the year before where we had our hearts broken. It was the Lee Evans catch, remember? And the Billy Cundiff miss. So it was like we had our hearts broken in 2011. We were right there on the cusp of the Super Bowl. Should have been in it. And then you're this game. So it's like, no. Especially after Ray came back on this injury, we made the run, we got there, and I'm like, no, we can't go out like this. This is not how the story's written. And when Jacoby called it and ran, it was like an out-of-body experience. And then finally when I came to, the whole celebration was on, and then obviously we were all holding our breath because that infamous extra point that, hey, he's got to make it. It's only 6 points getting into the end zone. We got to get 7. It goes through the right, it's okay, exhale, we have 7. It goes in overtime. overtime, back and forth, blows after blows, trading possessions, getting there close, no, and then finally passing the double overtime in the playoffs. Man, it was a treat. And right in the beginning of double overtime, man, Peyton Manning goes back and Corey Graham comes across and steals the ball. And we got it. And Tucker kicks that, 40-plus yarder to send us to Foxborough and then on to the march to the Super Bowl 47 title. The Mahi Miracle game, man, I know this one's special to all of us, right? But, and I have it. I'm looking right at it in my Ravens office right now. I have the picture signed by Jacoby. He's catching it. And I have Joe throwing it to him. Never forget that game. And it's one that stands out in Ravens history forever. I know some fans were at that game and it just said it was eerie quiet when everything went the Ravens way at the end of the game, man. But I know this was one for the ages, and this one just was just, wow. You know, a double overtime game, and just look at the scoreboard, right? I want to, because I have the box score up, Brandon. This is how crazy this game was. After quarter one, Baltimore 14, Denver 14. The second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter, each team scored 7 points. The box score was identical up until the second overtime where the Ravens had that three with the field goal. So this game was just, it was back and forth. Each team was matching point for point and stride for stride and blow for blow. This was a true heavyweight fight for the ages. And my dad said it before the game started. The team that wins this game is going all the way. And we know the Ravens did go all the way and finishing Ray's last run. So this was it. This was the spark.
It was a wild game to witness. It was it was a nail biter. It was everything you want in a football game. I mean, even if you are not a Ravens fan, you have to watch that game and just go, yeah, this is why you watch the sport. Jacoby Jones cementing his name in Ravens history. Joe Flacco coming up when you absolutely needed him to. Yeah, that game, I mean, I've got some fantastic memories of watching that game with you and a couple other friends up in Bel Air and the place going completely crazy. And like your dad said, I mean, after they won that game, I think it was pretty evident the Ravens were going to go all the way. That one, absolutely. Go back, watch that game, enjoy yourself, because, I mean, it does not get better than that.
It doesn't. And even more so is, I know it sucked for the Ravens having the one seed there, but the Broncos were the one seed that playoff run, so we were four. So as the Titans did it to us last year, it sucks not to relive the bad moments, right? But we took down the one seed, so it's kind of like, hey, we know how it feels a little bit. But for Denver, it was their time to accept the defeat. But, you know, going from Justin Tucker's game a couple games ago, this was Tucker's rookie year. So how special was it to win the Super Bowl in his rookie year? But not only that, but kicking one of not – we already covered a 61-yarder, right, in his career the year after that. You know, just building the lure of Justin Tucker, right? But you know, Tucker kicks a 47 or 48-yarder for the win here. And then they go on to win Super Bowl, and then a year later, or less than a year later, in the next season, he kicks that 61-yarder in Detroit. So a star was born in Justin Tucker, and the rookie then didn't show any signs of wavering, man. That was a proud moment, and throwing him out there, and we have another great kicker years to come there. So there it is, Mahi Miracle.
Denver rushes three. Flacco steps up, throws deep. Far sideline, Jacoby Jones has it at the 20. Oh! Jacoby Jones, touchdown, Ravens!
Number six. All right, my next pick for top Ravens games to watch. This one's a little bit of a somber one, but it kind of shows the resilience that a man can have, and why people play the game of football and why you watch the game of football. It was September 23rd, 2012. It was a Sunday night game. It was Ravens versus Patriots. The night before this game, Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the Ravens, his little brother passed away from a motorcycle accident. It happened really late at night. There was a lot of talk of whether or not Torrey Smith would be playing the game or not. and Torrey decided he wanted to play. He wanted to be with his team, and they all came together. They came around him and helped him up, and they stood with him arm in arm. And the Ravens went on to beat the Patriots 31-30. And Torrey Smith came out of that game with two touchdowns. And one was a 25-yard pass from Joe Flacco. The other one was a 5-yard pass from Joe Flacco. With only 4 minutes left, Torrey Smith got that touchdown. But it really showed, you know, when you have a personal tragedy like that going on in your life, that the team really rallied around Torrey Smith and picked him up and told him that they were all there for him. And he went into that game playing for somebody else besides himself. He was playing for his little brother. He was playing to make him proud and to remember him and do everything he can in his name. And that was a really beautiful sentiment for Torrey Smith. And just going back and watching that game and the way that the crowd and the way that the team just you know, put their arms around Torrey and helped him out really shows a lot about what this team means to the community, to the team itself, to the players. I mean, that was just an absolutely memorable game for me.
Dude, yeah, man, it just showed the power of, you know, pulling together in tragedy and turmoil for a cause. And, you know, how many sports stars have we known that went through tragedy and yet they trudged through? You know, not comparing a Torrey to a Brett Favre, but Brett Favre loses his father and has a career game on Monday Night Football. And Torrey came around and, you know, balled out, you know, for a great stat line, caught over 100 yards and two touchdowns key to that win. And just showed that, you know, his team rallied around him, as you said. It was a great game to behold. It was another one for the Ravens-Patriots, kind of the contest that you expect. You know, close. You know, it was chippy at times, and we wanted to stick it to them. You know, and at that point, they were the defending champs, right? Or because, you know, we could have been there. They knocked us off, you know, with the Lee Evans drop and the Billy Cunningham miss. And I know you're going to say, Josh, stop saying it, but – and then they came into our house that year. That was one of our wins to get us to the Super Bowl run earlier that season before it all came into fruition. So yeah, man, it was another special one, and I always remember that one, man. That was a great game to be at. Another great atmosphere. Early Sunday night game against the Patriots in Baltimore was great.
Fake to Rice. Flacco gets away.
What a catch. He's getting grabbed. It looks like he extends one arm to hold off the defender and catches it with the other.
This is just astonishing what Smith is doing in this game.
Now, another reason why that game is very memorable is due to the way it ended with a Justin Tucker field goal that some Patriots fans to this day bring up. That they said it was not a field goal because the football kind of went over the upright and the officiants were actually replacement officials. They were not the official referees due to a strike that was going on between the refs and the league. And the replacement did say it was a field goal. Field goals are not reviewable in any way at that point. So the replacement refs deemed it was a field goal. Fans, Patriot players, Belichick himself disagreed and actually put his hands on one of the replacement officials. But if you remember, that was the last game with a replacement official. After that game and some of the controversy surrounding that the Patriots lost, they decided, the NFL and the referees decided that they were going to play nice and got back along, and they were back the next week.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, man. It's just, again, how many times has Tucker shown up in Ravens history in these key moments? But, and I remember that too, because the upright, you know, they were all chippy at the end where Belichick was running across the field and he alluded to it and kind of saying, you know, pointing up saying, hey, he missed it. And I think, if my memory serves correctly, didn't that game cause the goalpost to be raised a little bit because of that?
That's right.
Yep. So, yeah. So it all comes down to, you know, there's fairly fine details in the game. But that was a great game that stands out, man. Good pick.
Justin Tucker for the win. Whoa, baby! Oh, just good. And the Patriots are saying no.
Oh, Wilford
no.
Can't believe it.
Oh, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. Patriots think it's no good, but it is good.
Number five.
All right, so I'm going to stick in the same year. Obviously, these aren't ranked from 1 to 10 in any specific order, just coming off of it. No, but I'm going to stay in that same year, man. In that same year, 2012. I'm going to go January, where it was the playoffs that same year, obviously, but the next calendar year, you get it. But January 6th, 2013, there's a reason why that date's important for all Ravens Nation. This is Ray Lewis's last dance. This was his last home game. This was the first playoff game of that four-game stretch that started it all against the Colts. What a day. Before that, obviously, Ray announcing at the end of that season that he's coming back and this will be his last ride out of retirement and sparking the team. And just the electricity surrounding tailgating that game. We knew. You know, we're like, look, this is redemption. You know, we didn't know we were going to go to New England 2 weeks later. No one knew we were going to play a Mahi Miracle game for the ages a week later than that. Who knew we were going to raise the Lombardi 4 weeks? We just wanted to get through this game, but we knew it was redemption time. We were all talking about how we were right there, man. Lee Evans holds on to the football. We're in the Super Bowl. We beat the Patriots. And who knows to say, hey, we could have been back-to-back champs. In hindsight, we could have been back-to-back Super Bowls. We don't know, but we were right there. And then it kind of missed not getting us in overtime really hurt their chances there too. So for the Ravens to get back, and we knew that with the defending with the championship crown of the AFC North, right? You know, the home game, the playoff game against the Colts is Andrew Luck's rookie year. You know, it's the Colts, it's the Ravens. Obviously, you know, we still have a little disdain for the Colts. So tailgating was filled with a lot of stories. You know, a lot of that was still buried and. We wanted to stick it to him, and you know, we knew who was waiting. You know, it was Peyton Manning. So it all was like a story. It was a great story to be told, that playoff redemption in New England, Peyton waiting, but we had to get through the Colts, and the Colts came to Baltimore. They didn't know it was in store because you're coming into the Lions then, and not only that, but it's Ray's last home game ever in Baltimore, playoff game unofficially, officially, whatever you want to call it. It was one to be, dude, just to be blessed to be there and have a ticket to that game, looking at it on my wall again right now. It's the tickets framed, the picture signed by Ray. It was a sight to behold. To be in there early, dude, I've never seen a fan base get in that stadium as early as they were to get in their places to not miss intros. I've always said it. Intros are awesome, especially what they've done now this past year. Intros are nothing to miss. But with Ray Lewis, it was something. You know, we knew when they did, hey, is it this week the defense is being announced? Because you knew, hey, Ray's coming out of tunnel. It's earth shaking because it's awesome. It sparks the team. And when the defense was being introduced and Reed comes out next, and then it was kind of like the prelude to what was coming. And what was coming is 52 doing his thing. And when that music struck and the stadium all rose, And you can just hear it and the screams and just enjoying that and just seeing him come out and doing his dance, passionate as ever. One last ride, one last dance, give Baltimore the spark they needed, man. I'll never forget it to this day, man. The whole game, you know, obviously being me, the Ray Lewis enthusiast I am, obviously, you know, and my family knows, I look up to my dad, right? I look up to my family. They're my first and foremost, but if there's another one that shaped it, it's Ray's story, and they know what it means. And you know, with reading his books and knowing his struggles, and this was special for the city of Baltimore, not only me but everybody, you know, because this is one last chance to see the great one, the great 52, to play in Baltimore, and to give us a curtain call like none other. And dude, he played with a vengeance. Led the team in tackles, chasing down Vic Ballard like he was 25 years old again, running sideline to sideline. he put the team on his back, said, let's go. And it was bionic arm. Remember one of the gaps in the game. You know, he barely had a pick, and because of the arm brace, it bounced off, and that was a moment of laughter, saying, Ray, come on, all you gotta do is catch it. And I think he had a clear path to the end zone, and Ray missed a pick there. But Ray had a monster game that game, pretty much leading the team in tackles the whole playoffs, but that game started it. Throughout the game, you just felt the emotions bubbling up as it went through the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and then finally getting to the end of the game where we knew the game was in hand. And every chance you get, you're always looking at Ray on the sideline, looking at Ray on the field, just taking it in, Brandon, taking it in. And it was surreal. And then just to be there to see his final dance, not only at the beginning of the game, but then him to be coming out for the offensive series on the last play of the game, doing his thing, and the circle around the stadium, you know, saying bye to all the fans, and just the emotions, man, just knowing it, and then going home and talking about it with what voices we had left, if not at all, trying to get the last words out of how special that was. And we feel this is our year. We knew it was our year because we did win it, but just knowing how special that day and that game was to all Ravens fans, all Ray Lewis fans around it, you know, whatever your favorite was, or if your favorite of his, favorite of teams, doesn't matter. It just was one of those games that just you appreciated it and appreciate what he brought to the city. You know, bookend, drafted here, second pick of the Ravens behind Ogden. He was the cornerstone. He built it, and what better way to send him out? And that one last ride, I have the clipping, man, I'll never forget it. His press conference when he said, this is the last ride, I was like, this is it. Better soak it up and enjoy every moment, because these players don't play forever, right? So the Maha Miracle preceded that for special reasons, but this was special too. Obviously, back-to-back games, a two-week span was great, but Ray's last game will ever be remembered for my whole life, and it was one for the ages, man, to share with it with everybody and to really be in that moment. And it got choked up at the end of the game because a young lady next to me, a row below me, she held up a sign, man, and it said, you'll be forever 52 in the field, but number one in our hearts. We thank you, Ray. And it got me choked up. I remember at the end of the game, you know, there's been a few games, past and present, I've cried, you know, where I get emotional. It's like, obviously, Super Bowl 47 was one of them, because after the run. This one was another one, because I remember at the end of the game, I remember kneeling on the concrete. Everybody's like, all right, and I'm just like, this is it, man. Like, of all the blood, sweat, and tears that we've seen and the struggles, and we knew, I said, this is going to be a special year, and I knew it. I remember talking to everybody there at the stadium before that game was over. I said, mark my words, we're going to be at a parade in a few weeks. This is it. I felt it in that electricity around that stadium, felt it in tailgating. I was so ramped up to tailgating. I was like, man, I this is what it's all about. And I just want to share that moment, that Maha Miracle was one thing, but man, the last dance was another.
I absolutely love seeing, I mean, that entrance of Ray Lewis. You saw how emotional it was for him, but seeing the team rally around him, Ray really did. I mean, he always was the heart and soul of this team, but he really did put this team on his back for that run. And to see him come out and do the squirrel dance, that the entire team was there watching it. I think the entire team that they were up against, you know, going up against Indy, I think they were watching that, because they knew that this was history. This was the end of an era for just not just Baltimore, but all of football. So to see that all kind of get pieced together. And I absolutely love the ending of the game, where we all knew it was over, but John decided to put Ray out there for one more play. And it was a position he normally didn't play, but they're like, yeah, just go put on your helmet. Just go put on your helmet and get out there. The game is ending anyway. And Ray went out there, and he got to finish the game doing the squirrel dance in the middle of the field. So that was a very special game. That was a great game, and absolutely, definitely one to watch if you've got NFL Game Pass.
For 17 years, Ray Lewis left everything he had on the field for the Baltimore Ravens. His final home game would be no exception.
I have you take a bow. I might put you on victory. Be the back guy.
Okay, I'll go get my helmet. Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, Ray Lewis is ready to
receiver.
Formation.
I'm reporting Ellsworth.
He's on the field for his final play in Baltimore in a Ravens uniform. There's the snap, and that is the end of an era in Baltimore.
Number four. All right, my next pick goes back to October 3rd, 2010. And this was Joe Flacco's first win in Pittsburgh. Early on in the season, it's always one to watch for, Ravens versus Steelers. This was a day game, if I remember correctly. Joe Flacco had never beaten Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. It was like a giant monkey on his back. And the Pittsburgh Steelers were a Ben Roethlisberger-less team. He was suspended at the time, so he was not playing. And like every other Ravens-Steelers game, it was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was just, you know, an in-the-trenches type of game. And with less than, I think, 2 minutes left on the clock, Joe Flacco went out there and he stomped down the field. He just kept going and going and going. There was no stopping Joe. Joe was getting this win, and he was able to get a win with an 18-yard pass to TJ Houshmandzadeh, who not on the team anymore, but he wasn't with the team very long. But TJ Houshmandzadeh comes out. He gets the touchdown. Joe Flacco gets his first win. And John Harbaugh said after the game that this was Joe really turned a corner. He really cemented himself as the Ravens QB for the future of the team. And he was the quarterback for a very long time. But this was Joe's kind of, it was 2010. It was kind of like his coming out party, really, for the fans, for the team. They were already behind him, but this cemented, this is our guy. He can get it done. He just beat the Steelers at Heinz Field.
It was, man, that was a special game, wasn't it? Because you always get that monkey off your back, right? Especially being a rival. You just want to win there. And the Ravens just for so long couldn't do it. Regular season, preseason, postseason, doesn't matter. We just couldn't do it. And under the Flacco era, and he finally got that win. That was a special win. I also have the game winner signed. You know, speaking about Ravens moments, and just remember that play, him going back. Remember that game before? It was like him leading that drive. It was just such poise of Joe. Him going back to Torrey. It just was a great. It just was one of those moments where you're finally, right? And it finally, you're able to get that one little jab in that Ravens-Steelers rivalry, that one little extra punch, like, hey, we finally beat you guys there. You know, you're not invincible no more. And it happened, same thing in New England, right? You know, once the Ravens figure out how to win in New England, they weren't scared no more. And that was the thing. The Ravens are never scared after that time. And they just knew what they were facing, and it just set up for not only that, but it set up for future bouts up there that they showed that they can certainly hang with the Steelers after they were to break that curse. It was a great moment. Great moments.
Pump fake to the end zone. Houshmandzadeh has it. Touchdown, Ravens. What a catch. What a throw by Joe Flacco. I thought it was a little long at first, but Houshmandzadeh, how relaxed in the back of the end zone. A blitz from Joe Flacco's left, picked up beautifully by the Ravens.
Number three.
I mean, I'm also going to stick with the for the enthusiasm of this rivalry right back to back. You've got the regular season, you know, Joe Flacco's first win, regular season win up there in Pittsburgh, but I'm going to go a step further. How about the playoffs? Is that a little special for you?
Always.
Always, a little bit. Well, we finally got that one marked off the list. Let's talk. It was the end of the 2014 season. The Ravens entered that in a wild card game. It was one of the, apart from the last few home games we were at, that was one of the last few road games I would have been at attended-wise, and I was there for this one. I decided to, you know what, I'm going to take a trip. Because this since that 2012 season, that was... We were two seasons removed from the playoffs. So when the Ravens finally got back, I was like, look, it's Pittsburgh. I never been there. I've always swore I never go there. There's a bus trip going. I was like, let's just go. Let's just go. I'll suck it up. I'm going to Pittsburgh, enemy territory. And I kind of liked it because I look, it's the playoffs. It means that much more. And I was like, look, I'm going to go up there. I'm not scared. Let's just do it. And behind enemy lines is what we call the trip. And we were doing it. We took the day trip up to the Pittsburgh, did the bus thing, got on the lot. Yeah, it was nasty. It was a volatile environment, but we got there, enjoyed it. And the whole game, I'm like, all right, you know, let's just see what happens, right? You know, and I wasn't expecting nothing. I'm thinking like, yeah, we're not going to beat them. And then, you know, the Steelers get introduced, and you know, here comes the stupid towels waving, and I'm like, oh, Brandon, it's annoying on TV when you're there. There's two things I would tell you this right now, talking about this game, this game isn't on my list, but I attended the next game the week after, right, where the Ravens lost to the Patriots in a divisional round. I went to New England the next week after, so I actually went to New England on the road. There's two things that are annoying in person that you don't think so on TV. I mean, you hear them and see them. The yellow towels are annoying in person. Let me tell you that right now. It's god-awful annoying. But that New England foghorn, you hear it on TV on third down, but when you're there in person, it's you just sit there and you're like, stop. Just stop. So, yeah, those two things are just utterly annoying. You're in New England, you're like, and then all the fans get on, you're like, oh, crap. But, yeah, this one in Pittsburgh was special. Wild card bout. And this was back before Antonio Brown became insane. We kept him in check, so it was great for us because it was like, hey, AB didn't really make an impact. And going into this postseason, this was Troy Polamalu's last ride. You know, Ray had it a couple seasons before there, so we were like, you know what? Let's give little Troy a little taste of the medicine and let him send packing instead of giving for the title. So it was great. Didn't expect it, but as the game went on and the game remained in the Ravens' favor, I was like, look, they could probably pull this out, right? Because, you know, it was a close game at half, you know, give it at that. So, and then when that second half started and the Ravens built the belief. And for all those who don't know, there's a few special plays in this game. Remember the Suggs between the legs interception?
Knee sizzle.
Yeah, that was another one. So that was there. So this was that game. It was a hard-fought game. And when I remember one of the last plays in the game, and just was just amazing. And this was the touchdown right here that just sealed it. The Ravens were ahead, but not by much. They had them on the ropes, right? But when late in the game, when Flacco threw that touchdown to Crockett Gilmore for the 21-yard score, and it was right in front of me. It was in the end zone I was at. When he crossed that goal line and put the Ravens up 30-15, I was like, that's it. That's it. We got it. And just seeing – I remember the pictures. I have them. I think they're posted on my page. Is when you see the Steelers faithful emptying out in the fourth quarter, in the middle fourth quarter after that game, during that game, I should say, and then you see the contingent of Ravens fans flocking down to the visitor sideline, and it's all yellow seats left. And I look around, and I'm like, we just emptied out an opposing stadium. You know, we come in, we did our job, and all the home team is leaving, and it's all but purple and black left, and we're joyous. And then because it's Pittsburgh, this was another memorable moment because it's Pittsburgh. We didn't want to celebrate too much, right? So we're trying to walk out of stadium all quiet, not celebrating because you don't want to draw attention to yourself. You don't want to start fights. You just want to get out of there, right? You got to win. Just get home safe. So what happened was we got to the bus, and as soon as we got to the bus and shut them doors, boy, did it. We erupted pandemonium. We're up and down, high-fiving. People are slinging their jerseys. We're all, woo! And it just was – and then we're at the red lights, and, of course – you know, the windows are down and we're partying and you see the Steelers fans flipping us off and shouting things. And it just was like, we did it. And it was just our time to party because we're safe in the bus. So it was a great drive home, and wasn't so great a week later as I cover. As we know, we ultimately fell to New England. We were up two touchdowns twice, but, you know, bittersweet ending to that. But the Ravens' first playoff win at Pittsburgh was sweet because we were up there before. We've had leads, just couldn't close out the game. And this one, we finally got it. And unfortunately, as you look through the ranks of the Ravens history, that was another one to savor, man, because that was Joe Flacco's last playoff win for the Ravens.
on third and four, Roethlisberger to Ben Tate, in and out of his mitts and picked off by T-Sizzle. But watch T-Sizzle. He's been doing the Suzanne Summers thigh master or something. Because watch where he catches this football.
Through the legs.
That's how you make a play, man.
Right between the twigs.
Veteran right there.
Number two. All right, here it comes. My last pick of the show. We're taking a time machine. We're going back. December 8th, 2013. Ravens versus Vikings. This is what Josh and I deemed the snow game. Josh and I and a couple other people were at that game. It was a cold Sunday in December. We drove my car, Dodge Dart, Dart-thy, down to the stadium as we were tailgating. What did we notice? Oh, look at that. Some snow. Some beautiful snow was falling from the sky, and it didn't stop for about 6 hours. So we get into the game, and it continues to snow, which then turns into sleet, which then turns into rain. And our hands were frozen. Our feet were frozen. But this was also the game that Jacoby Jones ran back, and then the Vikings ran back, and were getting touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and they were running back and forth, and the game ended with a pass from Joe Flacco to Marlon Brown, getting his 2 feet in the end zone. There was a lot of talk of whether or not this was an actual touchdown or not, but the stadium crew zoomed in and showed Marlon Brown's footprints in the snow in the end zone to prove that he was in bounds for that touchdown. And the Ravens were able to come away with a win 29-26. I'll admit, I mean, because of the conditions and everything, if you were watching at home up until the last 2 minutes or so, little bit of a boring game if you weren't there live in person. But those last couple minutes really made up for it, because it was just wild how the both teams just went back and forth and back and forth. But personally for me, that's one of my favorite Ravens games. I got to spend it with you. I got to spend it in the elements, in the snow. What does UConn Cornelius say in Rudolph? This weather isn't fit for man nor beast. That's what that game was like.
You only remember it because you were with me.
Well, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. I'm kind of like quiet when I watch a game. I'm trying to study everything. You're just screaming and you're jumping and you're grabbing people and you're shaking everybody's hand. You're crazy.
You can kind of give the folks at home a taste of how it is watching a game with me, right?
That's right.
So you're giving the folks at home a little bit of what it's like to watch a game with me, man, because I definitely don't sit still, and I pay attention, but I don't sit still. So I'm always loud, rambunctious, but again, that's why I love football. That's why I love my Ravens. But, dude, this was great. Like you said, it wasn't really that kind of game up until the last minute, just because it was really – it was the snow. It was affecting, but that was one of the very few snow games I can remember, if not at all, because it really does it. And we never really get that around here. It's weird. You know, we're in the Northeast. We get snow, but being that it's the Ravens, you know, we just never really got to enjoy a true snow game, right? And this was one where it was like, yay, I'm ready. Let's go. It's a snow game. And maybe that's why I was more rambunctious than usual, because I love a good snow game. You know, snow football is fun, right?
That's right. Yeah. And, I mean, that's football weather.
It is football weather, and it was. But it was awesome. You know, just bare, you know, the players slipping and sliding. But that end of that game, so exciting, man, because it was like, you know, you thought you had the game in hand. You know, you knocked out Adrian Peterson. You're like, okay, you know, we got this, right? It's the Vikings. We can make this game. And then, you know, remember I can't remember the I have to look them up. I don't have notes. The order of the plays, but it was like, okay, the Ravens will go down and score, right? I think like Dennis Pitta caught a touchdown. And then I remember like Cordell Patterson ran the kickoff back. And then we scored again. And it was like, then I remember Toby Gerhardt running it to back up to Peterson. He ran it in. And then it was like, and then Jacoby Jones ran the kickoff back. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, and the Ravens had the ball last and they were down. And they needed the touchdown to win the game. And then they drove all the way down. And like you said, Marlon Brown with a few, one of his very quick highlights of the Ravens, Flacco found him in the back of the end zone, and he had both feet down. And you can, like you said, you can see it in the snows, the footprint in the snow. Both feet were in, and it was a game-winning touchdown. And as I kind of did allude to the spoiler earlier, where this was back-to-back weeks that the Ravens had game winners, because this was the week before the Justin Tucker 61-yarder. So it was an awesome, awesome game to be at. I was with you. My buddy Paul was with me that game. Was a great game to just really take in. It just was a crazy last 2 minutes with all that scoring, man. It was, dude, that was one for the ages. I mean, wow. The snow game always lives forever, because that just was just one of those crazy games where it's like, again, you never leave because you never know what might happen. And just because there's one play and it goes against the Ravens, you know, we might lose. And then, okay, they make a play. And it's just, again, it just was one of those wild finishes that you just almost couldn't believe that happened, especially in the snow and the elements.
And another reason why that game was very special was at the beginning of this season in training camp, the Ravens lost Dennis Pitta. He had gotten a hip injury in the summer and didn't know when he was going to come back. And this was his first game back as a Baltimore Raven. And he's the one that kind of started all the crazy scoring at the end. He caught a 1 yard pass from Joe Flacco with a little over 2 minutes left in the game. And then after that, it was points after points after points after points. But Dennis Pitta got his first game back at a 1 yard pass from Joe Flacco for a touchdown.
Absolutely, man. It was great. And I had that one framed as well, man. It was, again, we're putting them up on the wall, literally, man. Every moment, it seems like that was important or that stands out in Ravens history. I've got a piece of it somehow, way, shape, or form. But, man, that was one to be at.
Look out! Jacoby Jones! Jacoby Jones! Touchdown!
Unbelievable. It was one of those pooch kicks, and Jones knew where to go with it. Fourth career kickoff return for a touchdown, this one covering 79 yards.
Number one.
All right, man, so I'm going to put this one to start the new era in Ravens history, man. Going back a couple years, as we all know, the writing was on the wall. Hate to talk about it, but Joe got hurt. And we didn't know the future, what was going to happen. We moved up the draft, Lamar Jackson. And we knew that Joe was probably going to play the whole year, part ways with Joe, starting 2019 fresh with a Lamar Jackson offense, right? Well, those plans got interrupted because Joe, for a weird reason, got hurt in the Steelers game prior. Coming up on the bye week, wasn't able to play. And, okay, now we're going to get our first taste of the new blood. It's Lamar Jackson. Fans didn't know how to take him, obviously. You know, we again, how Joe was thrust in there as a rookie, didn't know how to take it, right? And this is November 18th, 2018, against the Bengals at home, wearing our black. Black jerseys are awesome. This was Lamar Jackson's first NFL start under center. And it sparked the rest of history, right? We know what he's all about. We know what he's done. He's our MVP. And this is the MVP's first start. Not only that, his first home start all in one. His first official start. Got it under the belt. Bengals closely test the game. What better way to do it against a division rival, right? And got that one under his belt. It was a great game. Ravens came out victorious 23-17. And we knew it was going to be a split. Lamar really didn't throw it much, but he ran a lot. And but the Ravens won. And that was the topic. It's, okay, well, he can't throw or this and that, but we know. But all hindsight, what stuck him out to me is this game. But it's not only Lamar's first win, it was the aftermath that stuck with me. Until to this day, when I need a motivational, you know, sometimes, yeah, I turn on the Ray Lewis quotes and all that. But what's fun about this game is when we finally win this, was that at the end of the game, Harbaugh speech, man. And again, you know, there's people out there I know that really aren't a Harbaugh fan, and that's fine. It's your opinion. That's your take. You know, we're not going to argue about it, right? I'm a fan of Harbs. I think he's the man for the job. I'm really blessed that he's our head coach. This is my view. But one for the billing was his post game where everything was going wrong, right? I mean, we had a few blunders in that game. We blew a fourth down play, missed some coverages. I think it was in that game that we were down early. If I remember, we were down and we had to come back and we won that game. So my memory serves, I know we had a few Bengals games like that. And Brandon, if you remember, it was that good speech, remember, where Harbaugh was spitting out all kinds of stats and things that went wrong. And he was like, good. And then he was like, oh, we missed a fourth down play and Marlon missed a tackle. Good. And it was like, good. And he was fired up. And that to me is why two reasons why this game stuck out. It's Lamar's first start. It's Lamar's first win. Lamar's first home game. Our first taste of him. We know what he's about. The kid did it. He did it with his legs, not with his arm. He did it the following year, though. We know all about it. But Harbaugh gave us a sound bite for the ages with that good speech. And Lamar Jackson, MVP, good. And that's one that stuck out. And it was great because the fans also, it was kind of funny because, like, again, I hate when family fights. Like, we're all Raven fans. Why are we going to argue? But I remember during that game, some of the negativity stood out to me, and I hate to even bring it to light, but it was like you had fans like arguing because it was so abrupt. Joe's hurt, and then I'm like trying to tell people again, I'm not the Ravens Bible, right? Like I'm not gonna what I say doesn't go right, but I'm just trying to tell people this was Joe's last year. Regardless, you're acting brand new. Whether he got hurt or whether we played all 16 games, he's done. Like you have to accept it. I did. I felt like it was the only fan in that stadium or anywhere around that knew Joe was done. It sucks. I'm not saying kick him to the curb. He's done and forget all he did. I'm just saying embrace the newness. But it was like I think the fans, because he got hurt and they didn't want to accept it, it was like, you know, the way Lamar played and, you know, he did with his legs and this is not how quarterbacks should play. It was a lot of arguments in the stands where it was like, so it was just like, it was just kind of crazy hearing fan reactions around me. When the Ravens did win a football game, instead of all rooting and cheering hard, it was just like, you know, oh, I can't wait till Joe Flacco's back after next week. Oh, it was just this, it was a bunch of negative fans. And it was also fans that I knew well because they have season tickets and they sit around me. And I'm like, y'all crazy. Like, Joe ain't coming back. Like, I could bet your season tickets next year. I'll win them too because he ain't coming back, dude. Trust me. Mark my words. He's done. And I was just speaking truth because obviously it didn't happen. He didn't come back. And I was just like, come on. So that's what stuck out to me. It's like, y'all need to get a grip. But and when I realized in hindsight and hear how fans' reaction now after a year, it was like, that was the problem. Joe was so beloved in this town, and he still is, that when a player like that just abruptly stops playing or he gets hurt, fans weren't ready to accept that. They're like, oh, he'll be back when he's healthy. No, he won't. Sorry. Like, I think I was just more of the knew what was the pulse of the team and the realist in the room. But that just me was just taking it all in. It really stands out because for the first time, fans were like divided. It was weird. It was like you had your Flacco fans and you had your Lamar fans. And it kept going that whole year. And obviously it all got silenced when Lamar went gangbusters this past year and got the MVP. And then Joe kind of faded out with his injury. So nothing to be said. You know, we wish Joe well. He'll be back here in a ring of honor and he's league leader and quarterback stats all over up and down the stat sheet. And he got us a Super Bowl MVP. So Joe Flacco's MVP stands above all because it's in the big game. Lamar got the league MVP, which is the first ever in Ravens history. So a lot to be said, but this game was one for the ages. Lamar's first game, the good game, as I call it. We'll call it good.
Stanley back in at that left tackle. He's a second down. And here comes Jackson into the secondary.
So let's look back real quick at our picks. So I'll go first. So the five you had were the Justin Tucker 61-yarder game.
Yep.
You had the Mile High Miracle. You had Ray's Last Dance. You had the 2014 wild card Ravens versus Steelers. And you had Lamar's first home game.
Yep.
So of those games, I think the one I would watch first, I think I would go with the Mile High Miracle game.
It's a good one.
I think that's the one I would pick for the one I would go for first. I God, there's just so much drama in that game. I mean, that's the one you're on the edge of your seat, no matter how many times you've seen it.
Yeah, man, it's just definitely a good one there. I like that one. Yeah. What, and even said, if you look it up, it's funny. If you look it up online, just Google My High Miracle. There's a whole Wikipedia. There's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to this game. It's crazy. And just through my research, it's actually dubbed in NFL history one of the greatest games ever.
I'm right there with it. I believe that.
That's why it's got to be on the list. It just was so amazing. Like, it just was absolutely amazing.
All right. So for me, there is the first official Harbaugh Bowl. You've got the Ravens versus Chargers. Ray Lewis ends the game with the fourth down stop. Ravens versus Patriots, September 23rd, 2012. Joe's first win in Pittsburgh. And the Ravens-Vikings snow game. Which game would you pick first to watch?
Oh, man. Well, this is interesting because I really want to pick the snow game, but here's what the funny thing is. You don't even need to watch the whole game. You just need to watch from the fourth quarter because all the craziness happened at the end of the game.
That's right.
So, but it was just fun to watch for the sheer fact it was a snow game. And if you never watched it or haven't watched it in a long time, it's like it's that climax, right? It's like, it's a boring game. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom. And then, but it's like, you have to wait to the end of the game, at least with the, if I were to pick one, I would pick first, I guess, the win in Pittsburgh, just because it's always good to beat the rival, the Steelers, because we hate them that bad. And I think a close second would be the snow game. But because it wasn't action-packed all the way through, I wouldn't want to put you all through that. But, hey, we have time to kill. So, not that you're not going to watch them. But I would definitely pick, of that list, I would have to go with the win in Pittsburgh. Takes the edge.
All right, Josh, I think that might be it for this show. Have we covered everything?
I believe so, man. Quote the Raven, nevermore. But I will say this, though. Just on the back end of everything, they give the listeners here and our call faithful something to hold on to. And we'll cover it because obviously we're heading into April. The NFL is holding, or they said that they're still holding their draft as scheduled. Obviously, it's not going to be the big public event and spectacle that we all wish it would be in our normal lives. But as of right now, the NFL said that they are scheduled to hold the draft at the end of this month. So it will remain to be seen. So we'll get close to covering that. And, Brandon, we'll be talking our schedules. Obviously, it seems like our schedules are wide open, that we have nowhere to be. But, we have to start sharpening our pencils here and taking some notes, because we might have some draft prospects to cover if it does hold true. I just don't want to – I guess we've got to pulse everything here and pulse check it because of what's going on with the ever-changing environment that we're in, where you never know what might happen. So I'd hate to do a lot of research – and then, like, okay, and then they end up canceling it. Not to say all hard work's gone, but I want to see what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, but we'll talk. But I kind of want to just throw it out there that the Ravens and the NFL, they're still going to still be drafting as normal. So I don't know how that's going to look. I expected to just be watching it on TV, and then they're just going to draft players and not really do the whole thing. But for the most part, as we know, we're going to be holding a draft next month. If you get to listen to this in April, it'll be later this month, because we're right on the cusp. We're recording this on the last day of March. April's right upon us. So we'll have a draft to cover for the time being. So we'll have to start looking out some draft prospects.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet Josh or I at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Let us know what you think of our list of games to watch, past Ravens games to watch. And if you have one that you would like to suggest to everybody out there, let us know and we can do that. You can go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this trip down memory lane. Go check out some of those Ravens games. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much, man. It's always good to be talking some form of football, no matter what it is, man. Ravens is our passion. And I know it's tough out there, everybody. And as of right now, I know there's a lot of things floating around with rumors. It's way too early to speculate what might happen with the NFL season, but let's take one thing at a time, one day at a time. We'll get our normal lives back. I really hope everybody's hanging in there. Prayers all to the friends and family. Hope everybody's being safe. And we'll all pull through. It's a power positive mindset, man. You gotta pull through. And what's been awesome is just watching the online interactions of our players and seeing how they're handling things. I've seen Hollywood Brown's working out, so he's out there doing his thing. So I know Lamar's been tweeting. So, keep everybody up there in your thoughts and prayers. And, we'll pull through, guys. There's better days ahead. I know it doesn't seem like it right now. This is a different and a weird new way of life. But hopefully we can provide some content for you, get some good football games to watch, one NFL Game Pass, and you want to pull them up, or even if you have them on your recorder, however you want to watch. And I'm really excited to hear what you guys think, what games you have in mind. There might be some games that I'm like, oh yeah, that one. And I might not remember. So, feel free to throw them out. All the downtime with no live sports to watch, why not just reminisce down memory lane and watch some of our favorite Ravens moments? Brandon, thanks for coming out that idea, putting this together, man. It was awesome. Gets me to get excited about remembering the good old glory days. And for sure, I have the Super Bowl runs on DVD. I got a few games there, so I know I'll be pulling them up and enjoying some of the games we discussed and the memories made there. But everybody be safe. We'll be updating you all on our draft coverage if it stands with the NFL. We'll have a draft to cover by the month's end. And I don't know what the schedule release usually is, the same thing in April, but with the uncertainty, I don't really know what's going to happen with that. So stay tuned. If there's any breaking Ravens news, obviously we've already put out there with the signings. Why we want to cover the signings and all that in the moves, because we kind of already been putting them out there with the whole Broncos thing falling through, and then the Ravens signing Derek Wolfe of the Broncos. So we know the Ravens are handling the business end, and they're still doing things. Players are still signing. So it's a good thing. So the business, the NFL part, is not been impacted, at least for right now. So let's hold steadfast and positive things to the draft and see how that falls, and see what it's all about. And the Ravens do their magic and see what we pull out in draft. So until then, stay tuned. And with that being said, everybody, Ravens Nation with me, just let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.